Okay, hi everybody. Thanks a lot for coming along to my talk about Coggle. I'm Robert Bragg. I work for the Intel Open Source Technology Center. I'm the co-maintainer of the Coggle project. So for those that aren't that familiar with Coggle, it's an open source GPU graphics library originally created for the Clutter project, though these days it's a standalone project. It was created to deal with the portability across different versions of OpenGL, so across OpenGL ES and OpenGL, and even experimentally a bit these days with WebGL. And it's also dealing with portability across operating systems. One of the differences with some other graphics, GPU graphics libraries, is that initially when we created it, we were interested in supporting multiple sort of orthogonal components being able to contribute to the graphics rendering in a way that didn't trample on each other's state tracking. So in this talk, I'm hoping to go through first a run through of how we submit and process geometry with the GPU and render something out. And I want to then give an overview of the utilities in the Coggle library that try and make it really practical for writing graphics applications beyond just access to the GPU hardware. And then talk about some of the specific things that we've been developing more recently, just so that people get some insight into how the project is actually developing. So first of all, I want to talk about basically the lowest level API even in Coggle, which most closely matches how the GPU processes data. I'm kind of personally interested in trying to expose more people to understand how the GPU itself works, especially in the context of user interface development, where I think we totally underutilize the flexibility of this hardware, and the state of the art for UIs today is quite basic in comparison to if you consider sort of game developers and how successful they are at using this hardware with many of the similar kind of constraints as us with interactivity and real-time graphics. Anyway, the first thing that any application is going to have to do if they're going to use Coggle to draw something with the GPU is create themselves a Coggle context. This is going to just, you could call Coggle context, and this is going to create you a sandbox for all of the data that Coggle's going to need to track for your application. So then we're going to need to create ourselves a destination for what we're drawing and what we're rendering. This is called a frame buffer. A frame buffer is a collection of 2D buffers. The buffer we care the most about is the color buffer, and that's where we're going to store the results visually of what we're drawing. But a frame buffer might also contain other ancillary buffers. So the depth buffer is for accumulating the depth of the geometry that is used during the building up a scene, for example, in a lot of use cases. In Coggle, you can create a frame buffer. You can create an on-screen frame buffer that would be visible to a user calling Coggle on-screen you with the size. Or alternatively, you would create an off-screen frame buffer by creating a texture with a given size, and then you would wrap that texture as an off-screen frame buffer. So if we have a destination, that's where we're going to store our results, then we need some data that we're going to process with the GPU. And how does the GPU accept data? So GPUs, there are two forms of data. In Coggle, we support loading image data The order isn't what. Images are a form of data that we would expect to be able to process in a GPU beyond geometry, and in Coggle we support loading textures either from files, from a file name, or from a buffer with a given size, and by setting data on that texture, as well as being able to pack images into a larger atlas of images. It's often useful to be able to pack images together. There's a higher level kind of texture that where you often, as a common pattern, to be able to pack smaller images into larger images to avoid state changes. And another form of textures that GPUs process are textures created from window system resources, such as X11 PixMaps or Wayland buffers. I'm really sorry. The order, I'm really sorry about this. Okay, that's this. Okay. It's just that the left and the right clicker doesn't go through. This is reveal.js, and it breaks the slide down into the sections, which are vertical sections, and so just pressing left and right skips over pretty big chunks of the talk, which, sorry about that. So this will be a slightly better flow to the talk if we go through feeding data to the GPU. So the first thing we need to be able to do is feed actual geometry into the GPU. So first we need to actually understand what data the GPU processes, and that is geometry, which is tessellated from triangles, is the primary form in which we process data on the GPU. So to understand how we describe this geometry, the next thing to understand, so this is the stuff about textures is the stuff I just jumped ahead at, and sorry about that. But we're going to first go through explaining how the geometry is described. Apologies. So the way that we describe the geometry is by geometry that's triangulated from tessellated from triangles, and those triangles are themselves made of vertices. And those vertices are themselves comprised of what are called attributes. So examples of attributes here would be, so positions for each vertex in a triangle. So we would have a position, which could be a coordinate, a 2D or a 3D coordinate for each vertex in that geometry. Or it might be a color for each vertex in the geometry. Or it might be a texture coordinate in a could be a 2D texture coordinate that is for mapping a specific subregion of an image onto that piece of geometry. There's a lot of flexibility in the GPU as to what data you can associate with the vertices in your geometry, and these are just very typical examples, but it's you can have all kinds of custom data associated with your geometry. The geometry can also have many different topologies. So typical topologies would be that you have a triangle list, which is where you would have say sets of three vertices which represent completely disjoint and disconnected triangles, or you might have a strip of triangles, and that would be you provide your first set of three vertices for your first triangle, and then one additional vertex is going to connect to the last two vertices of your strip to make one more triangle, and so on, one more vertex connects to the last two vertices. And so it's a more data efficient way of describing some geometry than with the lists, if that's applicable to the geometry you're trying to describe. And the last example would be a fan, where you just have a single vertex in the center, and then the rest of the triangles are going to spindle out from that center point. So how do we actually describe this data using the Coggle API? So the first thing we're going to do is decide what kind of data we want to associate with each of those vertices. There is some different strategies as to how you present this data to the GPU, so I'm just going to give you one very typical example as to how we would do this. So we decide that we want to have a position, a color, and a texture coordinate associated with each vertex in our geometry. We're going to create a vertex, a my vertex struct in this case, and it has a position. It has two components for the position of x and y coordinates in 2D, and they're of type float. We're going to have four components for the color, red, green, blue, and alpha, and each of those is a byte. And then we're going to have two components for a texture coordinate, and those are of type float, ST coordinates. And this, don't worry about the numbers, it's just that we've taken our myvertex struct, which is our vertex, and we're declaring an array of these, and we're going to plot out, we've got three vertices for one triangle, and we're plotting out the positions of the vertices, we're giving each vertex a color, and we're specifying the texture coordinates for that geometry. So we now need to upload that data so that the GPU is able to read it and process that, and that's just a case of uploading it into a Coggle attribute buffer. We do that by calling Coggle attribute buffer new, we pass in the size of the data that we want to upload, and we pass in the actual pointer to the data, and that's going to give us a reference to a buffer. The next thing is that we're going to have to describe to the GPU how is it that it can walk through that data. It needs to know the layout of that data so it can iterate through the vertices to process it. And so for each attribute, we need to create a Coggle attribute, and we call Coggle attribute new, and we're going to pass in a reference to the buffer, which is our data, our attributes that we declared, and we're going to give each attribute a name. We're going to specify what is the number of bytes that we need to step to be able to move from the first vertex to the second vertex and so on. And then we're going to need to specify what's the offset from the beginning of the buffer where the GPU is going to start reading for that attribute to be able to process that data. Lastly, we need to specify the number of components the data has and the actual data type for the data, float and two components, x, y components in the case of the position. So assuming we do the same thing for the color and the texture coordinates, and we have three Coggle attributes now, we can now define one or more primitives that refer into the attribute data. So at this point, this is where we specify the actual topology that we want the GPU to use to interpret that data, so lists, triangle fans, strips, or whatever. So we're defining a primitive here where, because it's just a single triangle, that topology is pretty meaningless. So we specify that there are three vertices that belong to this specific primitive, and then we're specifying the actual attributes that belong to this primitive. And in this case, we're using just a var arg function that takes a null terminated list of attributes, so it's the null at the end. Okay. So the other thing that GPUs can process besides the geometric data that I just described there is that they can also source image data as textures. So this is where we were a bit out of flow earlier on, and I started going through how in Coggle we can load texture data. So we can load them from files. We can load a texture just as an empty buffer and fill that from the CPU with a pointer. We can also create these textures, which are called Atlas textures. It's an example of a high-level texture that Coggle supports. There are a number of different high-level textures, but it's sometimes useful to follow this pattern of packing images into one texture to avoid some state changes for a lot of UI use cases. And as I mentioned, we can make these textures from Windows system resources like Wayland buffers and XMaps. So we've got our render we've got our frame buffer where we're going to store our results. We've got our data, which is these triangles and images as textures. So now we need to figure out how to describe the pipeline by which this is all going to be processed. So I'm going to give a really high level view of an example of how you can configure a GPU pipeline to process the data. A modern GPU is pretty darn flexible, and there are a number of stages, optional stages really, but that are not represented in this example. But this is still a very typical common example as to how you would process data on the GPU. So we're going to start with our geometry coming in on the left, and we're going to first go into this vertex processing stage. In this stage, we're going to transform our geometry. We're going to scale it, rotate it, translate it. We're going to project it so that points that are further away from the origin are going to attenuate towards a vanishing point to look realistic. And at the end of this stage, all of that geometry is going to be transformed into the coordinate space of our frame buffer and conceptually arranged within a scene of other geometry. And the next stage after that is the fragment processing stage, and the GPU is going to go through each of the triangles in our geometry, and it's going to overlay that with the pixel grid of our frame buffer, and it's going to consider for each pixel where the center of the what's called a fragment, where that is within the bounds of that triangle, then it's going to run a program to basically calculate a color for that fragment. At this point, when you're calculating that color, you can refer to those textures that we've loaded. And also, the corners of each triangle where we have those attribute values coming in, those can be interpolated so that for every intermediate fragment that we're processing, we have interpolated attribute values to contribute to that program. So in the final step, we take all of those fragments and we now need to accumulate those onto the existing contents of the frame buffer to build up our whole scene. And at this point, we might also be reading back existing colors in that frame buffer to be able to, say, give the effect of transparency by combining the incoming fragments with the destination fragments. And so the vertex processing, the fragment processing stages, those are programmable stages, very flexible. The blending stages tends to, well, it's much more limited functionality done in fixed function hardware, so silicon laid down to do that stuff. And the way in which the hardware processes this is very, very parallelized. If you have a primitive with a whole bunch of triangles coming in, there's not really any ordering guarantees as to how the GPU is going to process those triangles, and it's going to be doing lots of geometry at the same time. And similar with the fragment processing, the exact order in which it's going to process all those fragments is not something that you get to guarantee, and it's very parallelized. The GPU will be doing lots of those at the same time. So that's kind of how a GPU processes data at a high level. And I don't have the time to explain lots of examples of using the Coggle API to describe different variations on configuring a GPU, but just to introduce you to the Coggle pipeline object, which represents that whole processing pipeline of the GPU. And we can create a default pipeline by calling Coggle pipeline new. And to just give one example of configuring it, where we're introducing a texture into that processing pipeline, we're going to associate a texture with what's known as a layer. And this idea of layers are used during the fragment processing stage, where they can be combined. And here we're associating a texture with layer zero of that particular pipeline. So basically, now we have all of the bits that it takes to actually draw something and process something with a GPU. We've got our destination frame buffer, we've got our data, our primitive, and we've got our processing pipeline. And we can call Coggle primitive draw, passing in the reference to that data, that frame buffer, and the choice of pipeline. And so that's basically it for introducing data and processing it with the GPU. And at least for this talk, as much as I've got time to be able to give an overview of. So the next thing I want to talk about, though, are the utilities that Coggle provides that go beyond just that lower level access to the GPU hardware, that try to make it actually really practical to get stuff done. There's just basic things that almost all graphical applications going to need. And I'm going to start off by introducing the math utilities that come with Coggle. We have matrices API. Matrices are the way that we deal with describing transformations of geometry and combining those transformations. Just essential stuff, really. Matrix stacks build on top of that capability and cater to the number of applications that want to organize their geometry into scene graphs. So it's very common that you want to basically stack these transformations together as you traverse through the scene graph, pushing them onto a stack and popping them as you move around the scene graph. And this can save you reaccumulating lots of transformations of ancestors that aren't changing at a high frequency. Vectors are just useful for all kinds of things, and it's convenient to have APIs on hand for dealing with those. rotations. There are several rotation types that we have in Coggle. Eulers are an example of a compact representation of a rotation comprised of three orthogonal rotations. And quaternions are another form of, it's an encoding of an axis rotation, and they have the nice property of being able to interpolate really smoothly between them. So they have different pros and cons, but especially with quaternions, you know, there are pretty some pretty fancy maths behind those. It's not like you want to implement them every time you need that kind of capability. And color utilities, so being able to convert from RGB to hue, saturation, lighting, color spaces, and other manipulations of color. So shader snippets, this is the way that we expose the programmable part of the programmable parts of the GPU. This is designed so that you can have multiple components contributing to the overall processing of geometry, and it sort of cooperating within one framework. So the way this works is that we have this idea of hook points in a pipeline. So examples would be the vertex processing stage, where you want to be able to make some, you want to build on the default processing of Coggle, but introduce some additional transformations. For example, you can provide a small snippet of code, which is using the GLSL shading language, to insert into one of these hook points. And it can either replace that whole section and replace any default processing, or it can prepend or append so that it can cooperate with other components. And similarly, for fragment processing, we can insert to contribute to effects applied to our fragments. And for looking up textures, and there are other places as well that we allow hooking in. Clipping, lots of applications want to be able to restrict the range where they want to restrict where the influence of drawing within the frame buffer to certain 2D regions, and so in Coggle you can clip to aligned rectangles, transformed rectangles, the silhouette of arbitrary primitives, to 2D paths described with Bezier's arcs and lines, and similar to the matrix stack, we consider the scene graph use cases where you want to be able to stack these on top of each other as you traverse the scene graph, and the effective clip region is the intersection of all of those the currently pushed regions. Rectangle batching, especially when it comes to user interfaces that are currently very dependent on using textured rectangles as the sort of sole building block of most interfaces. And because GPUs are not really very effective at processing very tiny primitives one at a time, just to send a couple of triangles for a quad in separate draw calls is not going to make good utilization of the GPU hardware. So with this, if you work within certain limitations, so for instance, if you load all of your textures into Atlas textures, so that they can all be referenced as part of one draw of like one command for one primitive, and if you limit yourself to certain types of clipping, then in a lot of cases actually Coggle can batch almost like whole scenes of rectangles into single draw calls, which is quite useful. So then there's a bunch of optional sublibraries that come with Coggle as well. For instance, we have Coggle Pango, which enables us to render text laid out with the Pango API. We have Coggle Path, which provides a tessellator for 2D paths, so describing shapes with Bezier's lines and curves, and being able to get a retained object representing the tessellation of that, and being able to redraw that without repeatedly incurring the cost of tessellating that geometry. Coggle GLS 2 allows us to easily integrate just regular GLS 2 code into a Coggle application and managing the state changes that happen between those two APIs. Coggle GST is a recent addition which adds video integration So Coggle based on the GStreamer framework. So now I want to go through some of the much more recent things that we've been developing, just so you get an idea of where the focus is and where it's going. So firstly, so thanks to Owen Taylor, at the beginning of this year, we introduced Coggle Frame Info API. And this is about being able to get asynchronously extra information about a frame that is completed. So for instance, when we render and we pass our frame off to a compositor to be displayed, it takes some time before that compositor responds and gets that frame actually displayed onto a monitor. And we'd like to know, well, what's the timestamp for when that really hit the display and get that back to the application so that it can be a bit smarter about how it progresses animations based on the predictions for when that frame is really, really going to hit the physical display and be seen by the user, and for how long is it going to be seen by the user, that kind of thing. Thanks to Daniel Stone for contributing a Coggle Fence API to Coggle. This allows us to insert markers into the command stream that we're sending to the GPU so that we can have a bunch of work that we're interested in knowing when the GPU has finished processing this work. And when that work is finished, then we can get a callback into the application to be able to respond to that. And the use case they had for this was for video integration, where they wanted to be able to make sure that the GPU had finished any sampling that it needed to do for certain textures before it was handed back to the video decode library to avoid conflict between those two systems. Thanks to Plamina Manilova, one of the interns we've been working with recently, and thanks to Neil Roberts for supporting her with this work. Coggle GST adds video integration to Coggle, and it works particularly well with, we've sort of paid particular attention to making sure that it works nicely with the snippet APIs and with multi-texturing, so that there's a lot of freedom to add all kinds of your own custom effects and things that will be involved in rendering a video frame. So if you wanted to do fragment processing, like desaturating, contrast, brightness, that kind of thing in shaders, you don't want to have intermediate renders for all those things. So you need a cooperative system to allow you to combine these effects into one draw command. And yeah, the use case for this was for a project called Rig, which I'll mention in a bit. So WebGL is another thing that we're exploring at the moment. There's a project that that's using Coggle that I'm working on called Rig, which is a UI rendering engine and provides interactive tooling for designers for improving the workflow of design, where we're exploring more advanced uses of the GPU in the context of UI development. And we're interested in supporting a number of platforms, and even we're interested in exploring supporting web applications. It's an exploration process at the moment, but we're hopeful that that will be possible, and it's looking promising. So what's next? So something that I always strive for in the way that in terms of maintaining the project and driving a project forward is ensuring that the feature work that we develop is really driven by the projects, the requirements of projects that are actually using Coggle. So we don't want to be playing architecture astronauts, just coming up with fun stuff for the sake of it. We want to actually have a reason why we develop any particular feature. So the answer really to this question is to consider the people using the Coggle API at the moment, and to look for new users of Coggle that will take it in new directions. So some of the current users of Coggle that influence it, we have Clutter, obviously, the first user of Coggle, and even today that's influencing certain things. For instance, the high DPI stuff we were talking about yesterday, we'll need to make some small changes to the Coggle Pango API to consider upping the size of glyphs that we draw. Mutter is a special use case of Coggle, especially when we consider the recent work to add GNOME Shell, Wayland support to GNOME Shell, and that demands a bunch of feature work as well in Coggle. Cairo Coggle is not something I'm working on actively at the moment, but I wanted to mention it just because I did put quite a bit of work into this a few years ago, and it was an interesting project that really did actually drive quite a lot of interesting features in Coggle at the time. And this was adding a GPU acceleration backend to Cairo. It was taking a different approach to Cairo GL and Cairo GLES, making some different trade-offs. But it did some interesting things to do with retaining the tessellations of paths and trying to be a little bit more careful about using the fixed function parts of the GPU for gradients and to be a bit more efficient. I won't say much about EVAS because I guess not many people here are going to care about that. Neil Roberts wrote a backend for EVAS that... This was like a couple of years ago. We played around. This is not really got a serious use case, but it was interesting at the time because there's actually some slightly nifty things that EVAS did to do with batching, actually, which we were interested in the concept that was that worked out. And so a much more recent project that I'm working on, this rig, which I mentioned just briefly a second ago. And I hope for this project to be quite a big driver of Coggle going forward, actually. The ambition here is to really explore, in the context of user interface development, how we can use more features of the GPU and how we can also optimize the workflow between designers prototyping, but at the moment without many constraints as to the technology used in the end, and creating interactive tools that help optimize that workflow, even connecting to sort of devices over the network and such things. So I hope for that to be a big driver. Those are the projects driving Coggle. That's my sort of update for the project. And so I'm interested in if anyone's interested in this kind of thing, graphics processing, and especially for Guadic and this audience in the context of user interface development. I'd love to invite people to learn more about the GPU and contribute to Coggle either directly or through downstream projects. And creating more downstream projects with Coggle, and so join us, join the mailing list, get involved in discussions, join us on IRC. We created a channel for Coggle, dedicated to Coggle, just the other day. Bad timing, really, just before going off to Guadic to do that. But I'll try and send the message out again after I get back. And so follow us on Twitter if you just want to idly keep an eye on the project. And there's a website now, find the wiki, which we're going to probably try and emulate a bit the LibreOffice idea of easy hacks, which we'll try and maintain on the wiki to make it as easy as possible for people to play around and explore. Thanks for your time. So any questions? Yeah. I'd be glad to take any questions. Go on, Emmanuel. You have to ask some questions that you have to, after the spilling, making it.
It's a quick question. What does this do for me?
Well, you use, even if you're using GNOME Shell, the batching that it provides would make it more power efficient because it's going to utilize the GPU better. Any of the effects that you might want to use, Clutter provides effects, for example, to desaturate colors, and if any of those are used, then that's involved there.
So those changes are such that we don't need to do anything on top of it to reduce power consumption, for example. Well, is it magical enough?
Well, there's a lot that went into the batching, for instance, which is the main thing, I guess, that things like GNOME Shell and anything using Clutter are going to take advantage of. There's quite a few things that need to come together to make that work, such as having support for Atlas textures. That's a whole bunch of hassle to support. Other stuff like being able to span from, I have an embedded OpenGLES device and it only supports non-power of 2 textures, and there's tons of GPUs that only support that kind of limited texturing capability. So we have like high-level textures in Coggle where we can slice textures up when you have limited hardware so that you don't have to care about that, because a UI just wants to draw rectangles with images that have arbitrary sizes and not have to figure out how to slice that stuff up to be able to map to some limited hardware. So there's quite a few things that really make the job of developing something like GNOME Shell a whole load easier under the hood there. So,
does it also help a lot with stuff like video?
Like
video playback?
Well, the Coggle GST stuff is actually going to be used by Clutter GST. Lionel's updated that, so if you're using that, then it would be involved in video playback. But it's also going to enable a bunch of things now that Clutter GST could never do and that we always wished it could do, but it was we didn't really think it through very carefully when we originally created Clutter GST. So especially that idea of being able to contribute, have multiple components contribute to the effects in videos. At the moment, there is no cooperative system to allow, say, different GStream elements to contribute to that fragment processing for a video. So for something like cheese that we might want to stack a whole bunch of effects together, at the moment you'd be doing that by accumulating multiple renders to try and accumulate those kinds of effects. So certainly from a power efficiency point of view, if you want to have multiple effects applied to video, then that will make a big difference, and that's just the right way to do it. It's just that without a cooperative system for fragment processing, that's a difficult problem. So video is a nice one. There's a recent development, the Coggle GST stuff. We needed it to be able to support video effects in rig. I think that'll be interesting to see if people do pick that up. Okay, cool. Well, thanks a lot for your time.